Good afternoon. Welcome to Signs and Seasons. This is Minister Gabriel Amlak and Samara Gruti.
Good evening, everyone.
And we're bringing you another edition of the program that is designed to help us deepen our understanding of spiritual laws and principles. There's so much confusion, particularly around subjects such as astrology, numerology, etc. And so we're going into another excursion, let's say, on these vital subjects. Today we're talking about opportunities and challenges in 2012 for honoring the sacred feminine. And sacred feminine, a term that was coined in the 70s, actually is a term that refers to the feminine principle in men and women. And I certainly have some very interesting stories to share with you as we move through the series. In today's program, we'll be exploring the special opportunities and challenges that our global family can utilize to heighten, at this time, our consciousness of the intuitive, emotional, and spiritual aspects of our androgynous dual-sex personalities. In this season, particularly now, in this season of high frequency vibration, 26,000 years, if we can look at it from that abstract perspective, of preparation have brought the global family to this awesome era at which we can take part in the balancing of yin and yang, as Uranus, the planet of change, moves to Libra, the sign of balance and equilibrium. So now we have the planet of Uranus dealing with change, but also and liberation. We have the planet of Saturn also is in Libra now, and the planet of Saturn in Libra is dealing with redefinition. And so we have, pardon me, Uranus is moving through the sign of Aries. Individuality. And Saturn is in the sign of balance and equilibrium. And so we're making changes in the way we view and experience the feminine energies within ourselves and other members of the human family. And today we are blessed again to have our dear co-host, Sister Samara Gruti, who's going to lead us through this phase of our exploration. Yes, Sister Samara, good afternoon again.
Good afternoon, Minister Amlak, and thank you so much for that wonderful introduction and for reminding me that I'm more than my sun sign. Okay. We will discuss the importance of 2012 from the perspective of the sacred feminine and the vital role masculine, feminine, and especially women have in this cycle of global transformation. Femininity is made up of both socially defined and biologically created factors. This makes it distinct from the simple definition of the biological female sex, as women and men exhibit feminine traits. Behavioral traits generally considered feminine include gentleness, empathy, intuition, and sensitivity. Just so we're clear on what I mean by sacred feminine, it is not specifically limited to women. Okay, now is the time, we're in the time, 2012, the time to honor that sacred feminine, that sensuous power. Soft yet strong and steadfast, and express ourselves in a powerful yet feminine way. This is a source of untapped peace. You know, we've had numerous wars, ongoing wars. We're known for wars. We are, as a species, warmongers, whether it's globally, in our family, or in our relationships. But that's not really what we want. After a 5,000-year reign of male icons in the Western world, we have the privilege of witnessing a global reappearance of the divine feminine. Women will retake their power in this millennium. Love and respect, not for the divine feminine, love and respect for the divine feminine by all will grow. Here in the West, the feminine icons, Eve and both Marys, I'm just going to use our religious icons right now, leaves us with a feminine who's either sacred or profane. And I think most of you know what I mean by that. Eve is known to have brought us to sin. We are born in sin. And Mary is the Madonna. She's very chaste and untouchable. And she doesn't even have sex. She's married, no sex. And the other Mary, too much sex. So both of our icons are religious icons, which leads us to our depth of spirituality, are extremes that most women cannot identify with. This presents a kind of dis-ease in our society, and especially in women. It's a schizophrenia, and we exhibit schizophrenic symptoms, both males and females, in our relationship with our sacred feminine. Marianne Williamson wrote this poem, and I'll just say a few lines of it. And Nelson Mandela, that wonderful representation of peace, steadfastness, and power of the sacred feminine, is well known for quoting it. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You're playing small. Doesn't serve the world. It doesn't serve the world at all. It actually does the opposite. So as I mentioned, in ancient times, humans saw the creator spirit as a woman, not a man, but a woman, a life-giving, creative, preserving, protective goddess who shaped the earth. She provided us with abundant food and gave birth to all things, not some things, all things. There was a documentary where Bill Myers interviewed Joseph Campbell. And Bill Myers asked Joseph Campbell, what happened along the way to this reverence that in primitive societies was directed to the goddess figure, the great goddess, the Mother Earth? What happened to that? That's what we're seeking to address today, and that is what is coming back to life. Joseph Campbell answered, well, that was associated primarily with agriculture and the agricultural societies. It has to do with the earth. The human woman gives birth just as the earth gives birth to the plants. So woman magic and earth magic are the same. They're related. And the personification of the energy that gives birth is the same. So Now we're in a period where the memory of the divine feminine has reemerged. She's present, offering us help and guidance. Women have held prominent roles in ancient society, seen as the embodiment of the goddess. Women were honored as priestesses, queen, judge, midwife, medicine woman, and warrioress. We're seeing some of those things happen again, but in a slightly distorted way. Women are really large in the military. They are real warriors, but without the sacredness involved. They're letting go of their femininity, of their sacredness, in order to be warrioress. Okay, we must find ways to heal the wounded feminine in our bodies, our minds, our hearts, and our souls. In this time of the golden era, this golden era epitomized by 2012, known as the Age of Aquarius, a time when humanity must pull together and rise up to our Christ consciousness. You know, perhaps the Aquarius, the water-carrying principle of the feminine, will have enough influence to put out the fires. The fires kindled over 2,000 years of masculine control and domination. And of course, when I say masculine, I am also referring to women, not just males. So we need to take control of this domination and to begin to heal the harshness of our souls. Our souls are hungry. We're hungry for something meaningful, for more than we have. As I discussed last week, for over 2,000 years, a male god has represented the symbol of the Trinity. The deep-seated inequity inherent in this religious design of our fundamental institutions, which reflects the image of an all-seeing, all-knowing, vengeful father, has, known as God, at the crown of an all-male trinity, has had a dreadful sway over the consciousness of the world. And we've all suffered, males and females alike. Our worship of an exclusively male image of God is not only distorted, but also dangerous. Male privilege and male domination naturally resulted in the creation of institutions based on an imbalanced male aggressive model with power concentrated at the top. And as I mentioned, the exploited, bewildered masses, imprisoned and enslaved at the bottom, locked in perpetual subservience. There is nothing enlightening about that. In fact, it's a model of de-evolution, where we, instead of evolving, we go backwards. Males have suffered deeply because where the feminine is not valued and worshipped, a man has no real intimacy with his counterpart. Deprived of his equal opposite, because the feminine is viewed as an inferior object, the masculine is void of true evolution, void of perfect growth and development, and the feminine remains stuck in her own Maya. What was the name of that movie? I think it was called Lost in Translation. I think that's what's happened to us. It's a true sin. That is a true sin. Both sides lost and confused, devoted to false gods. We know that is, you know, who is the God that we're praying to, that we're worshiping. Right now we're going through an experience with transformative energies raining up on the planet through solar flares. We've heard of the solar flares that are just constantly bombarding the planet. The flares are the means of the means that gives us an opportunity to evolve. It's actually bombarding our energetic body, our DNA, causing us to move and change and evolve. It's forcing us. These solar flares are light energy, and we carry a light body. So, what do we need to do? The resurrection of the sacred feminine, which is what we need to do, has allowed the things that women traditionally care most about. And guess what? Men are now going to care about these things. Here in the West, more and more men are stay-at-home fathers. They're taking care of their children. So they are going to begin to care more about, not that they didn't before, but this has been the major forefront of women. They're going to care more about education, nurturing of children, and the enhancement of the quality of life. Gradually, this will become a major agenda. I correct myself. It is already a major agenda. Under the influence of the resurgent of the feminine principles, there's hope that the peoples of Earth may yet become enlightened. Cherishing the unique gift of life, of which this water-carrying planet is the custodian, we are all children of God. God, goddess, all that is. When we acknowledge our own divinity and the masculine and feminine that dwell in our nature, we have true balance in our lives, honoring the skills and qualities we consider female as equally as we honor the male, brings us to a state of harmony. It brings us to balance in our culture. We have ignored the divine feminine for too many years. I believe that now we are ready to hear her voice again. It is time to walk with her. We awaken to her infinite love. Now, last Monday, I made a statement. Before God was a man, he was a woman. To some, this may sound radical and even blasphemous. To me, it is truth that is easily uncovered. One of our great sage and leader, Reverend Martin Luther King, said, "Truth crushed to the earth shall rise again." This is such truth. To know more and understand where I'm going, you may purchase our book compiled and edited by Minister Gabri Amlak and myself, The Superior Aspects of Woman, A Tribute to Feminine Nobility. It's a new holistic women's empowerment manual. And men, women's and men, it examines the religious, scientific, and cultural influences that have contributed to the oppression of women for at least the last 5,000 years. I wanted to mention again the topics that are covered, topics such as creation of patriarchy, man's fear of women, the hand that rocks the cradle, female sexual castration, a travesty on the planet. Males are castrated too. That needs to, they're not castrated, but they're circumcised. That needs to stop. Reclaiming the throne, the power of feminine anatomy, return of the goddess, the beginning of a woman's worth, from mutilation to salvation, the divine mother's meditation. This is a ritual that Minister Amlak has written to us about. The Taoist exercises for feminine rejuvenation. Women, we really need to study this, and men too. Money talks, always has, always will. Weaving the fabric of global sisterhood. My favorite avatar said, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house." Here is such a prophet, a man, Minister Gabri Amlak. Of course, many honor and respect him. However, he is our biggest kept secret. So I turn this over to Minister Gabri Amlak. Thank you.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. And even though we talk about the subject on a regular basis, it's still very enlightening to hear it every time you bring it forward. Because my teacher would say, Kirpal Singh, that even though we've heard something before, we just listen attentively, we always hear something new, like going to see Luther or some singer who we enjoy as singing the same song over and over again, but you hear something new every time. And so I'm very enthused in hearing you so vehemently, with such passion, express this concept, these ideas. Is this something, this desire to want to see a more powerful spiritual emphasis placed on the, if I may say, liberation of women's consciousness and their being? Is this something that's been with you for quite a while?
Yes, it's been with me for quite a while. You know, I have three daughters, and I'm a woman, and I've had a lot of things that I've experienced that no one should be experiencing, not on such a planet where there's such abundance and plenty. And too many people are suffering. Too many. The children are suffering. It's just ridiculous the direction we're going in. So, yes, it's something that's been with me for a while. Millions are imprisoned. Women are being used as weapon of warfare. They're being raped. Domestic violence, you know, what is it, 1 out of 4 women, almost 30 to 50% of women on the planet are subjected to domestic violence. So if women, and I'm one of them that had that experience, and when the women are in pain, the children are in pain, and the men are in pain, so it's not just something that is isolated. You cannot have half of the world's population at the bottom of the heap and feel that the other half is having a great time. We're all suffering. Balance and harmony. So, yes, it's so.
Go ahead.
It is something that I have been looking at for many, many years from the time I was a child.
Now, there are some that and I'm sure you've heard this before, there's some that say that, well, different women's liberation movement has been going on for years and years. You know, you've come a long way, baby. So my question is, are there different cultural approaches or different interpretations or definitions of what the woman's freedom or emancipation is considered from different cultural, racial groups?
I am sure there are, but
I guess what I'm saying is that from what I've seen over the years, it seems that in the Western world, women's emancipation or liberation means doing things better than a man. Well, it doesn't seem to be from a spiritual perspective that you were talking about. So that's what I want you to address.
As far as I'm concerned, I think that's deceptive because it's relative. You may get women here that have more freedom, so we say. But in exchange for the freedom that women fought for in the 60s and in the 30s and in the 20s, the freedom to go to work and the freedom to not be considered a chattel and the freedom to own property and the freedom to have rights to your inheritance and your children and the freedom to vote. Women in this country, we have not had a woman prime minister. President, and women in that battle for freedom, women have let go of their sacred feminine, so they're suffering. There are a lot of illnesses and disease that women have. They have no time for anything, no time for themselves, no time for their children, no time to enjoy their money, no time for their partner. So is that progressive? Is that more advanced? I don't think so. For me, the way I look at it is you let go of one thing in exchange for another, but what did you let go of? So maybe we look at developing nations and go, well, these women, they don't have enough money to eat, or they're poor or something or the other. But there's always a degree of freedom that we do not recognize of freedom in a certain way as women that these 80s, these women in these developing countries enjoy. No, I don't feel that, not that I'm saying that it's not good, the freedom that we fought for and achieved. I just don't think we should look at it in that way of comparison. We need to be free in the same way all over the planet. And that's how I look at it.
I was thinking earlier while you were speaking that one of the major problems that I'm seeing, in a male environment, is the reluctance or denial of men to even want to entertain that there's a suppressed feminine element within the masculine population. I remember when I was working, I worked as a contract worker for Lawton Penitentiary years ago. And I gave a class, a seminar on more or less the same thing that we're talking about right now. And several of the brothers, they really got real annoyed. The one brother, he didn't want to accept the fact that he had any female hormones anywhere in his system. And this is what I see as a major challenge here. Because when I was, for example, in India, the men were more openly affectionate to each other than they are here. And even though we've come, a long way, once again, in our ability to hug and embrace one another, American men, I think, are still far behind many parts of the world. In my travels to Africa, to Belize, to India, I've always seen men able to, to be more affectionate towards each other. Have you noticed that also in your travels?
Yes, and that's why I don't tend to make comparisons, because that's the very point I was making. We may feel that men are more oppressive in, let's just use the Middle East or in parts of Africa, and yes, they're oppressive in ways that are extremely brutal. But yes, in some ways, men are more connected to their emotions in some of those places. You know, they may cry more than men here in America, and there's more of a brotherhood than here. The other guy's not seen as the competition to be smashed and kill or be killed in quite the same way. So I agree with you on that statement. Yeah, and so likewise, the women in some of those developing nations also have more sense of sisterhood and working together and taking care of each other's needs and depending on each other as a collective. So that is a beautiful thing.
So what we're doing today, brothers and sisters who of our family, about BBS family today, we are in Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabrielle M. Black and Sister Samar Baruti. And we are talking about the opportunities and challenges of 2012 with regards to this sacred feminine. As we explained earlier, a term that refers to the feminine principle in both men and women. And we are in an era now in 2012 where there is an accelerated energy that is giving us the opportunity to bring about a balance in terms of the balancing of yin and yang. As the planet Uranus moves actually through Aries, constellation of Aries. I made an error earlier. And Aries is I am. And so we can begin to look at the balance of both of those energies in the various, for example, the various religious symbols. And I thought about the symbol just now of the Christian religion, the horizontal line and the vertical line, and to remind ourselves that in all of these particular religions, whether it's the star and crescent, whether it's the six-pointed star, also known as the Star of David, yin and yang, this is the era in which we are really the time in which we are challenged to bring about that balance. And in doing so, we can not only heal ourselves, but heal the planet and experience the opportunity of having a more full, balanced existence, relationship within ourselves and relationship with our partners. Because I'm sure most of our listeners can testify to the fact that the emotional component in many of our relationships we have not been able to make that connection because we're afraid to embrace that feminine intuitive feeling aspect of our natures. And so this is something that we want to explore more as we move through the weeks that are following. It's 5:28 here, and we are going to take a brief 1 minute intermission. And when we come back, we're going to open the lines. Thank you once again, Sister Samara, for that wonderful wonderful informative presentation. And we're going to open the lines when we come back. You may want to write the numbers down now. 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. That's the 800 number. And we have 530-413-4522. You may want to call in and have a brief reading of your astronomical energies. We'll give you some insight on what the energy of this year has for you, or maybe one of your relatives, who of course you have the consent to do this for. And the call-in on the phone number, 760-569-7676, in case you know someone who's trying to call in on the phone. So we'll be right back. Brother Doug is going to take us to a brief pause for a minute.
And the access, yes. The access code for the calling in on the phone, 760-569-7676. The access code is 534355#. 534355, and that pound symbol.
And that's our expression of the yin and yang energies.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth.
Welcome back to Signs and Seasons with Minister Gavri Amlak and Sister Samar Baruti. And in the second half, we're opening up the lines to those of you who would like to call in and have a astronomer profile. The number is 1-888-627-6008 or 530-413-4522. Once again, 1-888-627-6008. Now, if you call in and you want to get an astronomer profile, I need your name and your date of birth, or the name and date of birth, whoever has given you permission to get the reading for them. Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello. The name is Jeffrey Polk the second.
Jeffrey
and his
Polk.
Birthday is 7. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, and his birthday is 7/22/1995.
Okay, the thing that comes to mind right away, that he's born on a master day, the number 22/11. Those are master days, of course, 22/11/33/44, but nobody's born on the 44 day. So 22 and 11 are master numbers, and the master number 22 is the number of what we call the master builder. And it gives the person a tremendous energy. Master numbers are high frequency. The wonderful thing about parenting and understanding the child's energy is because parenting is most effective if we understand how to direct the child's energy. And so
yeah.
On the 22nd, your son, is it right? Your son? He has a very powerful energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 22nd. The thing that you want to work with is, one, this energy, of course, is in Virgo, but as you may know, we're all 12 signs. And being that we have all 12 signs, then we need to understand as much as, of how those energies are programmed. And so now he has the energy of the 22nd. I saw before where he has the energy. Hold one second. Ah, okay. He has a very strong Aries energy in this chart, okay? So he, and
that
and
was the Aries.
Is his dad was an Aries also? Is that what you
yeah,
said?
Yeah, his dad was an Aries, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, he passed on, huh? You see, the thing that you have to be aware of here is that just as we were saying earlier about men being encouraged, males, to express their emotions, how old was he when his dad passed?
He was 16. His dad just passed away last year.
Ah, okay, okay. So what you may want to do, because he has a strong energy in Leo, so he may have this proud energy, you know, where he doesn't want to really express as much how it affected him. He knew his dad?
Yeah, he lived with his dad all his life.
Oh, okay, okay. So the thing that you may want to really be clear on that, because just having the Cancer energy would of course give him this depth of emotions, but because he has a strong energy in Leo, and he has that strong energy, in other words, there is a block on his emotional expression. Have you noticed that he is rather subdued in expression, how he feels?
Yes, in general? I have noticed that.
All right, so what you may want to do, and that also may contribute to a certain stubbornness that needs to be worked on, and he may have, you know, because he has Aries strong, he may have this strong macho energy that makes him think that he shouldn't express how he feels as much, you know? Okay?
Yeah, well, his dad definitely, that's how his dad pretty much raised him, too.
Yeah, well, you see the thing, he has a strong Scorpio vibration in this chart, so that he has a tendency to brood and hold things inside. And so, was it an accident that his dad passed from, or
cancer.
Ah, okay.
Dad passed away from stomach cancer.
Okay, so the thing that you want to do with this child here, because he has such a strong Scorpio cancer vibration also, you want to make sure that he is able to express this deep energy that he has. He should be good at writing. Does he write well?
Yeah, I just found that out just over this weekend. He does write really well.
Okay, so what you can do with him is you can actually help him to write about how he feels, because then he won't feel as intimidated as just expressing his emotions, okay? Otherwise, you know, through crying, through maybe even through verbalizing, because he's a child that holds a lot inside. You've noticed that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and that's because in his astrological energy, he has a block, you know, which can be worked on. We can do sacred geometry. We can do certain other meditations to help you release that. Sister Samara is into emotional healing. Maybe at some point you can get her number and call her and work it out. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you for calling in. And we'll look to talk to you hopefully sometime in the future. Yes, you're listening to Signs and Seasons with Minister Gabri Amlak, and the number to, and Sister Samara Baruti, the number to call, 1-888-627-6008. And the other number, one of the other numbers, 530-413-4522. These sciences, as I'm sure you agree, Sister Samara, are so very helpful because they give us an x-ray of what the person's energy fields are. And it's unfortunate that we're not using these systems as we could, because there's so many situations in which things could be changed. And we can get a better understanding of why things are occurring. I remember I was mentioning last week, I believe, how so many of the current situations in our society, like the young man that got shot in Florida, and many other situations, Trayvon, sister last year, about 2 years ago out in California, that was assaulted, raped, murdered, and in each of the charts, we always see the kind of energies that would attract these situations to a person. And of course, we can work with them in a constructive way if we only understood the person's energy field. You've seen examples of this yourself, Sister Samara?
Well, yes, I remember. Well, in my practice, I always use astrology to get a deeper understanding of my clients. However, I do remember the first time I had my complete chart done, and it blew my mind how accurate and how much information was contained in that chart from the time I was a child. This is a total stranger that knew nothing about me. And from that, my first reading, I always liked actually astrology, but after that reading, I got a healthy dose of respect for it, and it helped me with all three of my children to understand them and to not take so much of what they do personally or consider myself a failure as a mother or, you know, or something. It gives me some distance and detachment so that I can better parent. But, you know, it still doesn't, it doesn't make it any, it doesn't change what you have to go through, but it helps in how you handle it.
Yeah, I'm saying it gives you a much more, a detached and objective view, so you don't really take things as personal. Someone will call me and say, okay, my son is born on the 25th of the month, or my son's name is Walter or Barbara, and those all come to number seven, where seven corresponds to the planet Pluto. So right away, you begin to understand, no, it's not this person. They have nothing against me personally. It's just that's how they're made up. That's how their energy field is programmed. That even just now, in terms of the lady that called in and was referring to her son, then she would know that, no, he's not just locked down because of me or has a tendency to be fixed. That's the person's energy field. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is the real purpose of understanding these teachings. Because once we begin to understand how the person is wired, that's what I'm looking for, wired, then we know that it's not even a situation of the child taking after their parent. Because what happens is you'll find that, let's say you have a person has 7 or 8 children. Well, they all have different personalities. They're not taking after the parent. What happens is the child will have a tendency to emulate the energies of the parent that has a similar energy to what the child has. And so it's And so it's a very interesting exploration when you begin to understand the dynamics, the metaphysical aspect of people's personality. I think we were talking one time, Samara, about doing a special on the metaphysics of relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we want to dedicate a program to. And hope many of our listeners will invite their friends to tune in. It's 5:42. We're 18 minutes away from the end of this edition. The numbers again to call 1-888-627-6008. What was the major idea that you had wanted to get out today, Sister Samara, on the opportunities and challenges for honoring the sacred feminine in this particular time, this particular year of 2012?
Sure. Well, immediately something comes to mind, and it's like, and the words are an idea whose time has come. It's just time, for one thing. But the major thing I would like people to understand is that the liberation of woman means the liberation of man. We are in this together. And in all creation stories, there is a male and female created. So one is not going to get off and get out and everything's okay for one if it's not okay for the other. And that's, if people can understand that, what is good for one is good for the other. And that is the main idea that I would like. So it's not so fearful, or women don't think, oh my God, now we get to be in power and we're in charge and we're going to do this and that and the other and now we're going to pay back. It's not about payback. And men are not fearful and think, oh no, I have to live under the power of women. I don't want to give up my power. No, it's a partnership. As you mentioned, yin and yang. Within each is the expression of the other. So that's my major idea. What is good for one is good for all. And the liberation of women means the liberation of man. You know, we've each had our turn at power. We've each had our turn on this planet at power. Women have had their turn, and women did what they did. Men have had their turn, and men did what they did. Now we need to create balance, harmony and balance.
And I think that it's going to bring about one of my desires or one of the things that I've hoped for over the years is that we could really come to understand that this whole notion that the male is superior is just, for want of a better, it's totally ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that you just can't be more than what you came out of. And if there's anything that bothers me more than any other aspect in this male-female relationship, it is that. It's the idea that men actually feel in a condition to believe that they are the superior sex. And, you know, you hear that to whom much is given, much is expected. And so I believe that America has a major role in this mental, physical, psychological liberation of the feminine energy, indicated by the fact of the presence of the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty, from my understanding, they don't really know who gave it to us.
France. They said it came from France.
Right, but they don't really know who the individual who initiated it was.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so they're saying that it is a symbol of an ideal. It's actually a symbol of an ideal that our nation has yet to achieve. And it's a symbolical reminder of the liberated state of existence that America will experience and also exemplify for the global family when its women are exalted and when its women are elevated to their rightfully royal status.
Yes.
They claim that it's also a respectful observance of the laws and principles recorded in the Declaration of Independence, are indicated by the tablet that Lady Liberty displays in her left hand. It's just a wonderful symbol when we look at it from that perspective. The crown with seven rays, they represent the seven African powers or the seven powers from the chakra. From the chakra or the center at the crown of the head, the broken shackles on Liberty's ankle, they tell us symbolize freedom from physical change of traditional patriarchal conditions. And we spoke early on, you and I, about the heart chakra, that the reason that so many women suffer from heart disease and heart ailments are so prominent on the list of disease conditions is because women have to daily live with knowing and feeling that there's something terribly wrong, but not really have been able to change it. You could address that to some degree.
Yes. I like that the Statue of Liberty is called Lady Liberty, and liberty, freedom, is our divine right. It's not something that someone gives to us. So, you know, they can't really give it or take it from us, but we can surrender it maybe misinformation or false beliefs or however we want to say it, some violation, karma. We can find many, many words to describe it. But women and the heart chakra and the blockage of the heart, what happens when a woman's heart is blocked, usually means she's had some suffering, pain, broken heart, something that hasn't been healed. But really, it means she hasn't healed her emotional traumas, whether from the time she was born, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's abandonment issues, rejections, just broken heart. It's basically
right,
right. Broken
heart. Right, what I'm talking about in that right now is the fact that women are, in a real sense, the brunt of it because they feel they have an attunement, a sensitivity to the trauma that's going on across the globe, and the macho patriarchal attitude really, in a sense, ignores it. And so that's why now that's why it needs to be fixed. And,
yes.
And I'm saying, you know, it's just like someone, I'm doing something wrong and you're feeling the brunt of it, you know, and that may be all right in a situation where you're dealing with a child, but we, not that many of us aren't still children anyway, but, you know, but I'm saying this is something, this is the challenge this year of us beginning to respect the heart chakra, not just, of course, in women,
but well, I think what I like to say as a woman is that when we respect our own sacredness within our own lives, as we go about the world and we relate to others, we will get that respect. And we will not have the heart that is blocked and filled with just blocked. Because the heart is the most powerful organ in the body, the heart chakra, the heart center. It's more powerful than the brain. You know, it's where our feelings is where manifestation takes on. It's the energy in motion, emotion that brings about our manifestation, our reality. And so for women to suffer heart attacks, it's a very, very serious thing, being that the heart is so powerful and the feminine aspect, which is women embody, is something, love, it's not working. So it's it's an example of the serious state of things on the planet right now, when women's hearts are blocked and they're dying. And the number one group that is being affected by this are actually women of African descent, African American women. It's the number one killer. So that tells us a lot also.
That tells me also that it refers to the, you know, the sensitivity of melanin. Okay? And that the presence of melanin, you know, in a person's constitution, of course, that makes that have more a greater impact on them. Okay? Are you there?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that is a very, that is true. But how I look at it, because I've studied some of this, is that the inequities of life in this world falls predominantly on women of African descent all over the planet.
Okay.
And so, yes, it shows up in their hearts and the diseases and the various diseases that they suffer, but it also shows up in their very inability to sustain life.
Okay, we have 2 minutes, so it's to bring
this in. I'm just saying that in this country, as you state, America is a country that plays a global impact on the spiritual evolution of the planet, and yet we've got a group of women who their lineage goes back to the actual creation of mankind, that their infant has the highest infant mortality rate on the planet. So, and they're dying from heart disease. And I'll just leave it at that. Something just to, I'm just saying, something to ponder. And okay, usually what affects African American usually ends up affecting the rest of the planet. So you're right. We get hit first. The canary in the coal miner's tunnel.
Mm. Okay. So we're going to address this idea, these ideas more next week when we come. We're at 5:54. We want to encourage you to go and visit our websites. What are they, Sister Samara, just briefly?
Well, GabrielleAmlak.com, PureAuraHerbs.com, mm-hmm. House of Alkebulon. But if we do visit BBS Radio and Signs and Seasons, we can find links directly on BBS Radio, Radio 1, going down to Mondays at 5 and pull up our website there, and you can find all kinds of wonderful information about both of us.
Okay, so we are
as well as the women's book, and we are always asking for donations.
Yes, the women's book, The Superior Aspects of Women and the African American's Role in America's Spiritual Destiny. We are looking to be with you next Monday. You can go online and you can pull up programs in our archives. Until next week, God bless you and be well.